Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Don't worry, we'll be talking more about the horns down symbol. Is it offensive? Is it not offensive throughout the show? Because so many of you are so passionate about it. But we do want to start out with the 11 o'clock hour with the biggest story in the NFL, which, of course, again, involved Deshaun Watson. He met with the media yesterday for the first time since, I believe, March 25th, and it was revealing. He had an opening statement basically saying there were some things that he couldn't say, some legal issues, and some reasons that he couldn't talk as openly as he'd like to. But we did get a couple of answers from him that we thought were interesting. One of the things we found out from Jenny Vrintas's article in the New York Times was that, according to Vrintas, she found evidence that Deshaun had booked about 66 massages over a 17-month period of time. That was a number that raised a lot of eyebrows, but according to Vrintas, she could back all that up with receipts, with Cash App receipts and Venmo receipts and whatnot. Here's Deshaun Watson when asked by a Cleveland media member if that number, 66 massages, different women, I should say, 66 different women in 17 months, is correct.
I mean, I can ask that. I don't think so, for what me and my attorneys went through. But at the same time, you know, that's more of a legal question that I can't really get into details about. So you'll probably have to ask my attorneys and things like that to confirm.
So he kind of backed off, but initially he said no. Him saying that he doesn't think 66 different women in 17 months is correct. If you're going by what his own lawyer, Rusty Hardin, said, because I was at the press conference about a year ago when Rusty Hardin talked about all of the different massages his client, Deshaun Watson, had had. 66 sounds right. And again, Jenny Vrintas, even if you agree with Deshaun Watson, even if you're on Team Watson or whatever, she has all of this backed up by Venmo and Cash App receipts. So I don't think there's a huge advantage to Watson denying this.
There's no way he remembers.
No.
That's not saying he's justified. I'm just saying, I think there's a certain point where everyone's number, if you will, becomes murky. And I would imagine that his number, especially if this is all taking place over the course of, what, 1 year, is especially murky on that front. Yeah, this press conference, I know for some it's tiresome, but my God, the guy hadn't spoken for months, and he speaks again. It's the same 3-4 lines that we had been hearing from him in that March press conference where he said the following: I never assaulted anyone, I never harassed anyone, I never disrespected anyone, I never forced anyone to do anything. So many times over the course of the press conference, it just sort of reeked of him being told to say this whenever he feels like he is in doubt, if he feels like he is being pressed into a corner with any of the questions that's being asked of him. But what's, I think, really interesting to see now, that you have these reporters that are probably trying to build relationships with the new Browns pariah quarterback.
Yeah, they had some softball questions.
I mean, one reporter, Vanessa, asked Watson,
"This is so bad.
These allegations have done a tremendous amount of harm to your reputation. Do you want to countersue for defamation?" Now, I'm surprised he didn't bite at that, given the whole Johnny Depp trial we just saw, given how Trevor Bauer has essentially been the online version of this. Another reporter asked Watson how he's holding up emotionally.
Here's the thing. If you want to ask Watson, based on what you've said this has harmed your reputation, will you countersue because of that? But, like, giving him all this sympathy and all this empathy makes no sense.
Follow up. Are those questions being asked? Is it a show of empathy from those reporters, or is it a good question? This is a serious question on that front.
Yeah, it's a fine question. If he's said in the past that he feels like his reputation has been damaged, you can definitely ask if he's going to countersue, because that would continue the amount of the length of time. Don't forget, there is a statute of limitations on civil lawsuits. The only thing that could make this go longer than 2023 would be if he countersued. So logically, it's actually a great question, but the way you ask questions matters. And so that's what...
It does make them seem really sympathetic.
Totally,
to him.
Totally.
Yeah.
You can ask about the length. Okay, again, just playing reporter here. Deshaun, due to the statute of limitations, no more cases could probably be filed beyond 2023. But if you countersue, that could take it into 2024 or 2025. Do you plan on countersuing? Whatever. There are ways to ask it without saying, Deshaun, I'm a reporter and I would love to have a relationship with you and David Mulugeta. Do you feel bad?
It really is a transparent like that. And I get that that's what their job is. I'm just glad I don't do this. To be a beat reporter for a team, to be someone working in PR for a team, I just do not know how on the PR side of things you can galvanize yourself to go up in front of a podium and to make sure that the team looks as good as possible in the wake of bleep like this. And in the situation, too, as a beat reporter where
you are there
every single day and you have to maintain relationships when some rando national person can just come in out of nowhere and is always going to be treated like a special little
king. And you had
talked
about that from your early time with the Texans, and a lot of media people have, just about that frustration.
The national people got treated like kings, and if you were not a national person, you were treated like a dog.
O'Brien loved his loves him some Albert Breer and whatnot.
From Boston, dude.
All right, Boston. So there was a comment that Deshaun made under oath, and it came out in the video depositions where he said he had, quote-unquote, no regrets because he didn't do anything wrong.
No regrets.
And I just think of no regrets from that movie every time I hear that.
Yeah, We're the Millers, right?
Great movie.
Yeah.
There was a follow-up. One of the reporters did ask him, and this was a good question, if he still has, quote-unquote, no regrets. This is what Watson said.
That question kind of, you know, triggered a lot of people, not just women in general, but a lot of people from this, you know, in the lead from women to males and things like that. And what I was saying is, yes, I never assaulted, disrespected, or harassed anyone. But at the same time, I do understand that I do have regrets as far as the impact that it has on the community and people outside of just myself. You know, and that includes my family, that includes this organization, that includes my teammates in this locker room that have to answer to these questions, that includes, you know, the fan base of the Cleveland Browns, that includes males, females, everyone across the world. You know, so that's one thing I do regret is the impact that it's have triggered on so many people.
Everyone across the world, but he never mentions the women. He never mentions the Texans organization. So he says males, females, everyone across the world, but he never talks about the impact that it had on the actual women and on the initial organization. And listen, I'm not saying the Texans are a fantastic organization. They've done a lot wrong, but if he wants to apologize to an organization, it shouldn't be the Cleveland Browns. And if he wants to apologize to teammates, it shouldn't be the Browns teammates. It should be his Texans teammates here. But to me, I mean, not to defend Deshaun Watson, there's not a lot he can say here that's right, because if he goes back and backtracks and says, well, actually, I do regret. If he backtracks, then it makes him sound like he's maybe... It makes him sound kind of guilty.
Right, and which could potentially be used against him in civil court, because I think anything seems to be admissible in civil court compared to in an actual criminal court. And, you know, you have to prove someone guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And this, it's a lot different. But, yeah, I don't know what he does. He is still trying to fight this. He is still obviously trying to, as he said, right away in the press conference, trying to clear his name. And, like, I just think that is an impossible task. And by the way, check off all of the buzzwords during this press conference, Vanessa. Because I've brought this up before. I think that there are a lot of words that people will use, not just as a shield, but that they will also use as just like generic filler. And you see this in football a lot. You know, I want to be a part of the community. You know, I have a great family. Like bringing up his family, bringing up his background as if that changes the perspective anyone has of him based off of headlines that they have seen.
There was a radio station in Indy that did a cliche bell when Chuck Pagano was the head coach of the Colts, because he would say, gotta chop that wood, iron chop sharpens iron, like all of the cliches.
More.
And Deshaun.
Oh, boy.
The cliches are strong in his press conferences.
I want to be the best Deshaun Watson I can be, which brings me back to that hilarious Arian Foster press conference. Walking off the practice field where everyone got so pissy, where he just kept on saying, I'm just trying to be the best teammate I could be. I thought that was hilarious. And everyone was so mad. I remember when CSN Houston existed here, we had this little TV show called Sports Talk Live, which was like essentially a local version.
It was more than a little TV show.
It was good. But the problem was that you couldn't watch CSN Houston in like more than half of the city. But it was essentially like a version of Around the Horn. That was localized to Houston.
Oh, I thought this was the one
Houston.
You were on.
Oh, well, no. The one I was on was really a little, like, you know.
I was trying to gas you up.
Nothing wrong with it. Well, it was on the Cube, Cube 57, and shout out to all the great people
anyway,
at the Cube.
Sorry.
But anyway, on this show, I remember, like, we were talking about it, and I think I was on, I forget who my co-host was that day, But they asked about, like, Arian Foster just saying, like, I'm just trying to be the best teammate I can be, just making fun of the reporters. And I was like, this is hilarious. This is great. We have nothing to talk about this time of year. And look at this. This is really funny. And the other person that I was on with was like, this is so disrespectful to the media. And I was like, well, who cares? No one cares about us. Like, no one cares. We don't matter. You know, people are here to look at the stars. What, someone's going to talk about Paul Gallant 40 years from now? Hey, remember the time Paul Gallant asked Ozzie Guillen if things had cooled down back in Miami? Like, no one remembers that like 5 years later. So, I don't know. I think it's funny the way that things go in these press conferences. But, yeah, all the cliches, ring them all. I'm trying to be the best Deshaun Watson I can be. I'm just, there are things I can't control, Vanessa. Things I can't control. Like, that might be one that we need to come back. And also, I think definitely the one that we might need to bring back, like, regularly. You know, whenever we feel like we are in a corner, we just say the following four things, and then we get back to what we were supposed to be saying. I never assaulted anyone. I never harassed anyone. I never disrespected anyone. I never forced anyone to do anything.
Buzzwords for sure.
Yep.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, will Deshaun's assumed suspension help another quarterback reach his full potential? Mm. That's next.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
The problem is that every time we play a Michael Jackson song, Paul does this. What was that?
Shimona. I don't know what he says, but it sounds like that, right?
What?
Yeah.
Can you give us a Shimon?
Shimon. Doesn't he have like a weird like at the end of it?
I don't know. But that's what I hear, which is why often I'm laughing when we come back from the break. Not a laughing matter, anything involving Deshaun Watson, but we do assume that he's going to be suspended for possibly half a season based on what they did with Calvin Ridley and gambling, maybe a full season. We don't know yet. We should know before training camp, per Ian Rappaport. I have a theory that Deshaun Watson's suspension is going to help one NFL quarterback reach his full potential.
Yeah, let's hear this.
I think it's going to be Lamar Jackson. And I say that because the AFC North in general, I don't think the Steelers are going to be very good. Big Ben is gone. They have a lot of injuries. Look, the Bengals are what they are. They made it to the Super Bowl, and they brought in a lot of protection for Joe Burrow on that line.
You seem skeptical, though.
I'm a little skeptical. I think Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, if they can stay healthy, can be really, really good. You have to remember last year that they had three key players get hurt in training camp. Marcus Peters, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards among them, and then Lamar had some issues. I think he's going to want to prove it this year because he and his agent, aka his mother, are searching for that next big
Mama
contract.
Said.
And I think that he could reach his full potential, and we could see that. We could see a dominant Lamar Jackson, especially if he's going against in his division. Look, Joe Burrow's great, but other than that, whoever is the backup for the Browns, the Steelers quarterback, probably going to have some good back and forths with the Bengals. But I think that Deshaun Watson being suspended could really help Lamar Jackson shine.
But they did trade Hollywood Brown. And I look at the receiver core. I don't feel great about it. I know I've gotten a little criticism about perhaps caping for Lamar Jackson a little bit too much, but I have loved the guy since he was at Louisville. I feel like Greg Roman's offense doesn't, I think, help a quarterback progress as a passer. And I think that there is always development to be done with a young quarterback. And Lamar Jackson is still a young quarterback. He's still, you know, he's getting to that point, but I mean, he's still in his rookie contract. So is Greg Roman, as offensive coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens, going to help Lamar Jackson continue to evolve as a passer? I think that, yes, there's a lot to be desired from him as a passer, but I do not think he is this bad passer that a lot of people make him out to be. He's not purely like a running quarterback. He does, I think, have some ability to throw the ball down the field. The problem is Baltimore just does not have a very good wide receiver core. And if Rashad Bateman, I believe, isn't going to, you know, become a true number one, which do seem to be a lot easier to find these days, then what do you really expect Lamar Jackson as a quarterback to be throwing to? You know, is it just going to be Mark Andrews, their tight end, all season long? I wonder about that.
Harbaugh says Jackson is in great shape. And again, he was the most contacted quarterback since entering the league in 2018. That's for ESPN. Contacted 736 times. So maybe his line can step up as well. All right. It's Wednesday. You guys know what that means. It's time for our segment we like to call Wine Wednesday. And we, of course, want to know what you're whining about as well. 713-780-ESPN. Let's hit it.
It's Wine Wednesday.
It's the Wine and Cheese Club, gorgeous, where we all get together and vent about what annoys us at work.
On Vanessa and Gallant.
What's your Wednesday wine?
Wine.
Let us know what your wine is. Paul, why don't you start? Because I know I definitely know what mine is.
Okay. Well, I've done the snooze button before. I don't want to do the snooze button again. So I'll do this. I'm at the gym this morning. I actually did get up on time.
Humble brag.
Oh, yeah. Got a nice little pump in. Ugh! And nothing drives me more crazy than the people who claim to be using multiple stations at a crowded gym when they are just sitting at the gym and looking at their phone.
Yeah.
So what I do this thing when I do my push day. I do a tricep workout that also does an ab, like, row workout. So I use, like, those two pulleys that you pull down, and I do, like, four exercises with it, and I get in and out. There's only one that was available. Only one that was available today. And I stepped in there, and this guy says, I'm using it. And I was like, no, you're sitting on a bench. You're not using it. And he says, like, well, actually, I am. And I was like, no, you were just sitting on another bench with a pull-down machine looking at your phone. You weren't here. And the guy said, actually, I am. And I wanted to keep going, but knowing my temper, I had to walk away.
Yeah, probably a good
idea. Work at something else. I think that if you are hogging multiple stations at a gym, that you are a selfish jackass. It is not your personal gym. It is not your house. It is not your apartment. So spare me with that. And if you are one of those people at the gym, especially if you're looking at your phone while you're doing these multiple things, get lost.
We have a call for Wine Wednesday. Let's get Eric on the line. What's up? What's your Wine Wednesday?
Vanessa, Pauly G, what
Yo,
are you, baby?
What's up?
I don't know if you guys, I don't think y'all remember what I called last Wednesday
we
to
did.
Complain about Chipotle.
Yes.
So,
like a dude with a bad chick for an ex, I decided to give it another go around.
Oh, no.
Do it.
You know? So I went back last night, and I went like 15 minutes before close because, you know, the secret is you go before close, they give you extra whatever. So I go back, I get to the front, and it's the same guy, Mr.
No.
Thick Forearms with the limp wrist. So I look
oh,
at
no.
him, he looks at me, he gives me my rice, my black beans. So I'm like, let me get double pollo asado. He looks at me, he gives me one fat scoop. He gives me a second fast scoop. I'm like, okay, we in business. Then he looks at me, gives me a smirk, and gives me two more big scoops. I felt like Jordan Sparks and Chris Brown.
What?
No
hell?
Air. I didn't know what to do.
Was it his last day?
I was so shocked. So he looks at me. This dude gave me four scoops of chicken. He looks at me. He goes, can I get you anything else? I was like, you know what? That's I'm straight. I'm good. He's like, you know what? Let's top this off. And gives me some more chicken. Dog.
Oh, wow.
Shout out to Chipotle and the Heights. Shout out to Mr. Thick Forearms. I guess he went and did some wrist curls.
He listens.
He hooked your boy up last night.
He does. He's a listener.
I
ain't
got a wine because I whined last week and y'all got me.
Eric, you know what? We resolve the wines, I guess, now.
You know what? Proof. And that's proof that when you call on our show, we make things happen.
Yeah.
Because little do you know, I actually called him. And I'm kidding. Here's my wine. Thanks for calling, Eric, by the way. Here's my Wine Wednesday.
Okay.
I came in today, like we always do, to prep for our show. And I sat down and the chair broke. Now, if you think I'm going to complain about a faulty chair, you're wrong, because faulty chairs happen. My Wine Wednesday is that my co-host, Paul Gallant, knew that this chair was faulty.
Yeah.
And did not warn me as I sat down.
But
I could have broken my tailbone.
I wasn't facing you. I supposed to know you were going to pick that chair?
Because it was the only chair
but
there.
But my back was legitimately
was
to you.
It was the only chair.
How did I know you were going to sit there, though?
Sean, whose side are you on?
Fact or fiction, Paul? You sat in the chair and then moved it.
No, I saw the chair.
Yeah.
I saw the chair. I laughed at it. I brought it up to you, Sean
no,
Mace.
You didn't. No.
Who have a...
I was sitting
you guys talked about
into
the chair?
The store.
I was sitting in a cubicle.
You
yeah, you
about
definitely
the chair.
Saw
it. You both knew the chair was faulty.
I brought up that the chair was faulty, but I just moved the chair
made
away.
Made me feel like I have a fat ass.
I would like to say I was in a cubicle this entire time. I could not see
You're
the chair. I could not see
my coworkers are trying to break my tailbone. It's a conspiracy.
Nope, this was not.
Wow.
I wish that I was this creative to create a prank situation. No, that was not my intent.
That was very Tom and Jerry of you, I will say.
I
think this is more an indictment on the chairs at ESPN at 97.5.
No. Shout out to David Gow. We love David Gow.
But no,
you
the
guys
chairs.
Fault.
I think some of the salespeople should give up some of their chairs.
And now I'm
I
handicapped.
I think that they are taking the good chairs.
Now I need a handicap.
I don't know if Vanessa's going to be able to come into the studio tomorrow.
But that's actually, I'm going home to get LASIK surgery, so I actually won't be in the studio tomorrow. I'll be.
You could have played this as a whole.
I could have.
What would you get, like a butt brace?
What's
like
your
a tail
Wine
pad?
Wednesday, Sean?
I mean, shout to ABC Eric for, we just solved this problem. And then, I guess mine is the cubicles because I was not consulted about now I can't see my co-host when they walk in and I can't warn them about the dangers of the chairs.
I
just have to think in honor of Mark Wahlberg saying that 9/11 would have gone different if he was that plane.
I think
Vanessa falling down would have gone different if I was able to see my co-host when
I
they walk in the door.
I should have known that Vanessa was going to sit in that chair.
You should have.
It did not
known.
Seem very fair.
Paul.
We got a couple of texts about this. I hate when I'm trying to deliver to a house and there's an old person walking in the middle of the road. Get on the damn sidewalk. This happened to me yesterday in the Galleria. The Galleria is a tricky place to walk around. I remember my mom, whenever she would come visit, she would stay at Hotel Derrick. And whenever she likes to walk around. And I remember one time a police officer actually went up to her and said, "Hey, you don't walk here. No one walks in Houston." Because she was walking across like the underpass of like the highway. And I'm like, yeah, I agree with this officer.
Yeah.
I don't want mom in trouble.
6103 says, "Gas not gassing like it did last month. So hell yeah, I'm cleaning out my car at the pump." Yeah.
Yeah.
Gas is expensive.
Oh, my God. It's a bummer.
It's brutal. It's
pain at the pump.
Pain at the pump.
Pain at
Coming
the pump.
Coming up tonight at 6 on NBC, pain at the pump. Single mom's feeling it. Everybody's feeling it.
Don't
they
you
always
love
interview
those news
a single
packages?
Mom. I honestly can't afford groceries anymore.
Vanessa's doing this because she, having worked in TV news, she, I believe, back in the day has had to do at least one
Good Lord.
Story
yes,
about gas prices being high.
Sarah Smith is a hardworking single mom. I'm just trying to do what's right for my kids. But she's feeling the pain, Nat sound, at the pump.
And it's just like someone hanging up the pump?
Yes.
Yeah.
The close-up, don't forget.
And then they'll show the like actual price going up as they're filling up.
Or right. They'll show the picture, like B-roll picture, stock photo of that one place in Los Angeles where gas prices are always like $13 a gallon.
Many saying they'll have to cut back their summer vacation. I was going to go to Turks and Caicos, but now we're going to go to Austin.
Turks and Caicos, right next to the
Balkans. No idea where that is. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, your wife has the sign in your dining room, live, laugh, love, but doesn't have anything to do with golf. Plus, did the NCAA really think this wouldn't happen? That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Vanessa over here, humble bragging about,
no.
about things.
No.
Anyway, 713-780-3776.
It's our giveaway guy.
713-780-ESPN. Free stuff. Guess what? You can go to infinity and beyond because Disney and Pixar's Lightyear is the definitive origin story of Buzz Lightyear, the hero who inspired the toy. The movie follows the legendary Space Ranger on an intergalactic adventure. So caller number 3 to 713-780-3776 wins a 4-pack of tickets to see the movie at any theater, anytime, plus a $100 Visa gift card courtesy of the film. Catch Lightyear exclusively in theaters starting this weekend, June 17th, to infinity and beyond.
I like Toy Story. Good series.
Toy Story 3 had a really dark.
It was very dark
moment in it. By the way, and this was a conversation that we had earlier, and maybe we can dive back into it because we were talking about, you know, gang signs in college sports and how one gang sign is
everybody
offensive.
Being offended by horns down.
We have 713-780-3776. Cougar, what's his name?
John Cougar Mellencamp joins the show to talk about.
I believe it's Cougar Ben.
Cougar Ben. Off. Cougar Ben calling in about horns down. Cougar Ben, the floor is yours.
Hello, y'all. I got to tell you, I'm one of those guys that's listened to John and Lance since day one of their programming, and I can't be more excited about the programs that follow them now. Y'all
oh, you're so nice. Yay. Thank you.
You're a breath of fresh air. Paul, it took me a week or two to get used to you, but
he grows on people.
Same now,
so. I'm just happy it took like a week.
It took me longer.
Yeah, John's still not sure.
All right, maybe 2 weeks. So here's an interesting little story. Do you know how UH got their hand signal?
No.
Because Shasta got kidnapped by UT, right? And they, like, accidentally removed one of his paws.
So, yeah. So, well, not didn't get kidnapped, but they were messing with it at Memorial Stadium.
Unbelievable.
It got its claw pot in the cage. It ripped off one of its fingers and or one part of its pad, and that's when they started making up this sign, making fun of Shasta, and created that hand signal for us, and we held on to it because we went and kicked her, you know what, a year or two later, and it's been our
I thought it was
hand gesture ever since.
That very interesting. I thought maybe it had to do with the Shocker, maybe
no,
it had to do with
no,
you,
Vanessa,
H,
no,
but I didn't know.
No,
go Cougs!
No,
go Cougs!
No, no, my God. Oh, my God.
But thank you, Ben, for the call. We do appreciate it.
I got to say, Cougar Ben, so it sounded like, and I think this was just because of the phone, but it sounded like Cougar Ben was running as he was saying that. And if he was running as he delivered that phone call, that is the most, he must have the biggest lungs in the world. Because he's like completely fine
it's
as he said that.
It's the most athletic thing to ever happen on sports radio.
Right. Yeah, I'm yeah. taking a jog, and I was hearing y'all talking about this, and yeah, I felt the need to weigh in. It is messed up that anyone would do that to a cat. Anyone. Especially a jungle cat. Jungle cats are the most, I think, beautiful creatures in the animal kingdoms. Tigers, cougars, lions. Don't care what kind of cat you are. If you are a giant jungle cat, I very much respect you, and you should never be messed with. In fact, you should be free. You are a killing machine. You should be allowed to go hunt as you once hunted to your heart's content.
Wow, Paul Gallant, founder of PETA.
Just like jungle cat.
The LIV Golf Tour has gotten a lot of attention, and trust me, we continue to want your opinion.
It's laughing and loving.
Live, laugh, love. The LIV Golf Tour getting a lot of attention.
Oh,
Paul,
my
you
gosh.
Brought this up before the show.
So yesterday, I brought up the idea that it is really, really funny that you are seeing the PGA build up to the U.S. Open be overshadowed by the LIV Golf Tour. And yesterday I said, you know, probably this is bad for the PGA. They should maybe be escorting people out of press conferences who ask them about the LIV Golf Tour. Brooks Koepka was asked about the LIV Golf Tour and like said what, honestly, PGA Commissioner Jay Monahan and everybody else should be thinking right now.
Why have you decided to stay on the PGA Tour, and is that a permanent decision?
I mean, there's been no other option to this point, so where else are you going to go?
LIV.
I mean, as of last week, that's it. I wasn't playing last week, so I'm here. I'm here at the U.S. Open. I'm ready to play U.S. Open. So, and I think it kind of sucks, too. Y'all are throwing this black cloud over
God.
The U.S. Open, and I mean, it's one of my favorite events, and I don't know why you guys keep doing that, but you know, the more legs you give it, the more you keep talking about it.
This makes me want to vomit because I hate when athletes blame things on the media. Y'all, like, no, y'all joined a league backed by Saudi Arabia.
But
okay?
he did, but in Brooks Koepka's defense, and I am the biggest Brooks Koepka stan out there, Brooks did not bring it up, and he did not join the LIV Golf Tour. They're asking him about it.
I just mean other golfers did.
I understand you from that perspective, but you know, if I'm Rory McIlroy or Brooks Koepka, and I am standing for the PGA, I can understand being annoyed being asked that question. Does everyone need to be asked that question? I think that for the guys who aren't in it, I would be wondering why the hell am I being asked about this, and I would generally deliver some sort of a salty answer. But how about John Rahm? So John Rahm, I believe he Rom whatever. He's Spanish, so I feel like Rom sounds Ram sounds a little better.
Juan Rom.
Juan Rom.
It's
okay.
John.
All right. Anyway, pronunciation's not our strong suit today, but he
never
was
never my strong suit.
He was asked why he joined the Lyft. No, you're good with pronunciation today. Geography is your bugaboo. My bugaboo is pronunciations. John Rahm, guess what? It's not money that brought him over to the LIV Golf Tour. Nope.
What was it?
Here's what he had to say.
To be honest, part of the format is not really appealing to me. Shotgun 3 days to me is not a golf tournament, no cut. It's that simple. I want to play against the best in the world in a format that's been going on for hundreds of years. Right? So that's what I want to see. And yeah, money is great, but when Kelly and I, was this first thing happened, we started talking about it. We're like, will our lifestyle change if I got 400 million?
No.
It will not change one bit.
I couldn't tell.
Truth be told, I could retire right now with what I've made and I've lived a very happy life and not play golf again. So I've never really played the game of golf for monetary reasons. I play for the love of the game and I want to play against the best in the world. I've always been interested in history and legacy. And right now the PGA Tour has that.
Okay.
I hate when they bring their wives into it as if their wives and their families are a reason that they just say money.
I couldn't tell, too, the first time I heard that audio that he had said that actually, yeah, I haven't joined LIV because of his really thick Spanish accent. So, the second time through, though, to say that you don't care about money at all, shut up. I don't buy that at all. And honestly, you know, Bryson DeChambeau, one of the worst, just figures in all of sports, just incredibly insufferable. I got to give him credit because at the very least, he has been honest about why he joined the LIV Golf Tour. Here is Bryson DeChambeau.
It was a business decision, first and foremost, and that's all there was to it. It's given me a lot more opportunity outside of the game of golf and given me more time with my family and my future family. So for me, that was the decision.
Oh,
the business decision.
Future family.
Basically money-driven. Is that what you're talking about?
There was a lot of financials to it and a lot of time as well. So I get to have a life outside of the game of golf as well.
Okay,
he
got his future family into it. Homie doesn't even have babies yet. He doesn't even have children. Is he even married? And he brought his future family. Vomit, 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 vomit. Just say it was money. I don't care. Just say it was money. You know who else likes money? The NCAA.
Ooh.
Matt Brown, who covers the NIL and NCAA closely, tweeted, legal panel here at the big NIL summit they're having. It seems to be a consensus. NIL litigation is coming between athletes, brands, collectives, etc., and also believes that the NCAA really is going to try and make an example of some schools, the rules. So you saw that billionaire that contributes to the University of Miami is getting investigated. Did the NCAA not know that the billionaire and millionaire alums were going to step in? I mean, what were they expecting?
The NCAA was expecting the young amateur student athletes to continue to play for the love of the game, because that's what it's all about. The love of the game. Yeah, of course.
And your future children.
Yes.
God,
it's about our families.
Vomit.
It's about
it's
America.
Disgusting.
It's about, you know, apple pie.
If the NCAA didn't know that this was happening, then that's their own fault.
I agree, but they are now in this, I think, position where they realize we're about to be completely eliminated. So now, as they have opened up the door for NIL, they're realizing, oh, great, we can't close the door. So that's what this is all about. This is all about how do we try to maintain some sort of control. This will not exist. I bet 20 years from now the NCAA won't exist.
You don't think the NCAA exists in any way, shape, or form?
20 years from now, it'll be so just, I would imagine, small and insignificant. Because it's just going to take a couple of the football programs to realize that we don't need them. And there will maybe be a different version of the NCAA, but man, how much leeway does the NCAA tournament give you? How much money does that give you? Is that enough? Is that going to be able to keep this whole thing together? I don't know. 20 years from now, I feel like it's going to change.
It already kind of happened during the COVID season in 2020 where they didn't have any rules about COVID, where they let
the universities
make every rule. So that's why you had SEC played in front of 75% stadiums, played a full
and then
SEC,
Ivy League canceled the season.
Ivy League canceled,
right.
Big Ten canceled, and then came back. They already gave away all the power back then, and then the next year NIL happens. They have no plan for it. Of course, they're gonna like lose all this power to these schools.
Makes no sense. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant.
We do have Dwayne to get through the next segment, too.
Yeah, and we'll get to all of you guys' calls if you'd like to call in, 713-780-ESPN. Coming up, we're going to talk about a rapper who secretly is an incredible athlete, and I say that sarcastically. Whoa. Plus our Garbage Time segment. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we're rolling along on a Wednesday, and we do have a call. Dwayne would like to join the show to talk about a Southern accent. Dwayne, what's up, man?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sort of.
Okay, yeah, your Southern accent when you went off on mothers who couldn't afford gasoline and this hyperinflation
super food offensive
at the store. Come on, that's a bit insensitive, don't you think?
No, it's how they sound where I come from, so it's not at all, because I am a part of that group of people that say go Coats instead of Colts and whatnot. That is literally my culture.
I don't know.
I have family in trailer
parks.
Very
offensive to your culture. You know, you don't get where you came from.
What do you mean? No, so this is a sports show gone political? I mean,
no,
it has.
No.
Prices are up. And you,
very political.
Well, you went on Southern like Southern women are stupid or something.
Oh, Dwayne's offended.
I don't think we went that far. But yeah. I mean, if that's what you heard, then great. That's your interpretation.
That's your interpretation. Hey. Thank you, Dwayne, for calling in the
show. Sounds like there's some projection happening there.
No.
We never said anything.
Nope. That literally never happened.
Well, if we know anything about this show, it's that Vanessa hates the Midwest and hates the South.
And women, too.
Right.
Right.
Very anti-women.
Right.
I mean, I can't believe, and go back to the podcast, but what you were saying about Deshaun Watson during our Deshaun Watson segment, my God.
There's anything you know about me, it's that I make fun of people that are poor instead of admitting that I grew up poor.
Yeah, Vanessa throws change at the homeless. It's really messed up.
Yeah, terrible.
Not cool. Like, hey, they're just trying to live their life and buy a bottle of tequila.
How many organizations, guys, are in the running for the most toxic organizations in sports? We start with news that just came down from the Washington Post that Daniel Snyder will decline to appear at the congressional hearing on
actually
the Washington...
Actually pronounced decline.
Decline on the Washington Commanders. And a longtime Phoenix Suns employee resigned from the team last month, alleging she was the target of retaliation and bullying by superiors after raising concerns about gender equality, which I apparently hate.
We've heard a lot about how the Suns are a bad organization for a long, long period of time. And it does have me wondering, like, where would they rank among just, like, completely toxic organizations? Because the Raiders are now in the stratosphere there. I mean, look, the Texans were toxic, but then Jack Easterby got here. And since Jack Easterby got here, listen, they're on the clean and narrow. Things are better.
I actually do think they're a little bit better.
Straight and narrow?
Straight, clean,
the clean and narrow. The narrow, I don't know.
The long and narrow road?
We got another caller. Hello? Who wants to respond to the previous
Ryan.
Caller.
What's
Ryan,
up?
What's up?
Hey, it wasn't necessarily what the previous caller said, but what's wrong with Lynyrd Skynyrd, man?
I agree.
Lynyrd
Skynyrd's
Lynyrd
awesome.
Skynyrd.
Wait, did someone besmirch Lynyrd Skynyrd? Have you ever seen a she-gator... Take care of her young. That's from a Lynyrd Skynyrd song. Why are you making that weird face? That's from I Can Only Write About. Or I Can Only Write About It. You never heard that one?
Yeah, I just love when you start singing.
If I leave here tomorrow,
it's Freebird.
Would you still remember me?
All right. So Drake, obviously a rapper who takes a lot of pride in his bandwagoning on sports. You've seen him courtside supporting LeBron. Courtside supporting
last name. Greatest first name ever.
Last name ever, first name greatest.
Like a sprained ankle, boy, I ain't nothing to play with.
What?
Drake and his OVO team.
What's worse, our Southern accent or us trying to talk like we're hip?
Back-to-back championships in Drake's league, which he calls the Sanctuary Basketball League. And he did compare himself to the late, great Kobe Bryant. Here's audio from that.
What happened today, baby? What happened to Kyrie today, baby?
I did what Kobe did in game 7 against the Celtics. Shut up, I'll follow you.
Yes, sir.
Help.
He is. So he's the resurrected Kobe? Nice.
Some say Kobe never died.
I would say
Kobe
that...
Kobe died. Well,
I would say that one thing that you should never do is compare yourself to anybody who's, number one, the greatest at what they did. One
Kobe's
of the greatest.
Not. Kobe's
okay.
Not.
One of the greatest at what they did. The second thing you shouldn't do is compare yourself to somebody that just died in a really traumatic moment. No,
a couple
God,
years.
Paul would defend Drake.
Well, listen, I
Paul,
mean,
there's a show called F-Boy Island on HBO that you should think of going on. Because not only did you just say Kobe, oh, he's one of the greatest, but that it's okay to compare yourself to somebody that died?
Well, I just said Kobe's not the greatest, first off.
Okay,
anyone that thinks Kobe's the greatest is crazy.
He's one of the greatest.
He's not. He was a selfish basketball player that
you don't
this
think
mama mentality.
Kobe Bryant's one of the greatest?
I think Kobe Bryant was a great basketball player. This idea that he's one of the greatest like Michael Jordan, like LeBron James, is asinine. It is
so you think it's
ridiculous.
Okay that Drake compared himself to Kobe Bryant?
Well, yeah, because he's overrated.
Wow.
Yeah. What? Kobe Bryant, last game, he like shot the ball
we
58 times
this
to score 60
way
points.
Earlier
I feel like
show.
Tomorrow we need Paul Gallant's top 20
yes.
basketball players of all time.
Well, I'm
it's
not
happening.
Saying he's not top 20. I'm not saying he's not top 10. I just think that he's tremendously overrated.
Okay.
Like,
I
hey,
mean,
he won three championships 10. With Shaq. Cool. And Paul Gasol carried him his last championship that he won. He had one, like, I mean, we take a look at his entire career. Were there not great moments? Yes. But are we really going to put him on par with Michael Jordan because he played ISO basketball and was a ball hog? Sorry, no. There's a long stretch where Kobe Bryant was playing on ass Lakers teams. They sucked. They were complete garbage for years. And he's the best player on their teams. LeBron James, when have the Lakers ever been bad with LeBron until now? When has any LeBron James team been, like, tremendously bad with LeBron on them? Like, this year's the first time. Kobe had a stretch for the entire 2010s where, like, the Lakers kind of sucked. And I'm sorry. Him being put up in that same conversation, it's ridiculous to me. It's only Lakers fans that do it, and they get so defensive when you call them out on it.
We will be going over this tomorrow, by the way. We're going to move on to our segment of which we call Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Klay Thompson, fake Klay Thompson, not the real Klay Thompson, fake Klay Thompson, a guy that looks exactly like him, banned by the Golden State Warriors because he successfully snuck into Chase Center and was able to get on the court and get some shots up.
Yep.
I'm inspired by this.
Look, this is bad security. He also apparently had paid $10,000 for courtside seats, and he was not allowed to sit in said courtside seats. And you know what's crazy? We saw DJ Khaled once take a shot before a game in a playoff game, and that non-talent, that guy did not get banned for life. That guy didn't get kicked out. This guy had courtside seats that he paid for, and he wasn't allowed to sit on them because security failed at their jobs.
Yeah, I don't agree with this at all.
Should I try to break into an Astros game?
Yeah, Lance McCullers Jr. is here with us as
our producer.
Throw some bullpen,
and everyone's like, oh, my God, he looks awful.
You should give a long...
oh, my God.
Well, but that would be fine, because people would
Tommy
just say,
John tomorrow.
Hey, he's still injured. It's fine. He's still working his way back. He's still recovering.
You got to get the hair a little more slicked back.
And then you could do a long press conference.
Yeah, I'll get all... done up and yeah, throw on a hat and a jersey, see how far I can get.
Dress up like Salsa Lance McCullers in the new HEB commercial.
It's actually a good commercial.
That's that is a hilarious commercial. Also, I like that fake Klay Thompson just wore a Klay Thompson jersey into the stadium and people just let him through. Like NBA players wear their jerseys to the game.
I feel like people thought it maybe was a bit, but there was a lot of security failures here. Meanwhile, Netflix is going to have a game they call Squid Game The Challenge, a reality competition series based on the hit 2021 South Korean drama. This is interesting to me because in the original drama, people died.
It's going to be loosely based, let's be honest. Now, that would be an incredible twist. It's like they make all the people on the show think that they're not going to die if they lose. And then they're like, just kidding. But yeah, look, that show was compelling because of that just really final nature with which games were lost. And if you don't have destitute, desperate people that are dying for this money so that they can pay their debts only to find themselves on the game a little bit later, it's just not going to be that compelling. You know, there needs to be some life or death action. Kids' games are boring, right? Like, oh, wow, you want to watch people play marbles with each other? Hell no.
Meanwhile, the wussification of America continues. Look, I think words matter. I think it's important to be kind to people. But Lizzo fans have got to calm the F down. She said the word spaz in one of her new songs. Apparently, some people think that that's a slur.
It's ableist.
Ableist. And listen, I'm somebody that's very, very pro, like, diversity, handicapped accessibility, etc., because of my dear dad. But this is ridiculous. So they pressured Lizzo. And so she changed one of the lines in her new songs from the word spaz to the word girls.
There's a lot of words.
It's even worse.
Yeah.
Girls.
Oh, wow.
Girls are interchangeable with the slur.
Yeah. That's actually a really good point,
they
Sean.
Are.
Like, you say that sarcastically, but that's a good
yeah,
point.
Seriously. That's the mic drop moment. I'm surprised by this. Spaz is one of those words that I've never thought twice about it potentially being offensive to a specific group of people, and I'm not going to after this either. There's a couple of words where when you hear it used in the English language, you know what it means. You know that generally it is not being, intention is not to say, yeah, all these people like this, terrible. No, it's spaz is a klutz. Spaz is someone who it does not have great control, I guess, over their movements. And I did not
Ridiculous.
Know that it was an ableist slur, but hey, it's 2022. So.
Yep. This is what we have coming up on Vanessa and Gallant tomorrow. Paul Gallant says that Kobe Bryant is not one of the greatest basketball players. And the text line is lighting up. We're going to have a segment about
that. Yes, because there's two greatest basketball players of our generation.
Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham. The Killer Bees are with you from 12 to 3, guys.
Lakers fans think he's better than Kareem. Ridiculous.
Have a good day.
Peace.
Yell at Paul tomorrow.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.